You got it. Wow.
Well, now somebody went to the restaurant. Good evening.
Good evening.
Welcome to the Dallas Snyder Show.
We have a new person in the room tonight, and your name is?
Suzanne.
So we're delighted to have you here. And do you know that this is a metaphysical teaching? Although everyone thinks that's the Star of David I just handed out.
Yeah, I was wondering.
It's a metaphysical teaching, and everyone else knows that. So, we'll begin, as we always do, with spiritual mind treatment, or just the word treatment. When I use the word treatment, it's just a form of prayer. It's an organized form of prayer. We are taking time out to know what the universe, or this thing that we call God, already knows about us. And we use treatment work to align ourselves with the mind of God so that we can use that intelligence to bring into our lives what we want. So I will do this in the first person. And all those who are willing may take it for themselves in the first person. There is only one life, and that life is the life of God. And I am some part of that life. And because I am some part of that life, I can use that life. I can use that mind to improve my life and to improve my mind. And I use that right here and right now so that I am able to bring into my life abundance, prosperity, and money. And I allow that to be so. And so it is.
So it is.
So with that said, are people still doing their affirmations?
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Hi, how are you? I had a young lady visit me this week, needing different help and so forth. And I said to her, are you doing your affirmations? She said, oh, I forgot to do them. You have to do the affirmations. Whichever one you want to pick, whichever one you want to do, you do them and you make it yours. The one I recommended for her, and I recommend always for everyone, is to be able to say to yourself, wonderful, wonderful, wonderful me. And to say that enough times that your whole being takes that in, realizes that, and you become that wonderful person. That is the way it works. That's the way affirmations work. And affirmations always work. Whether we know that or not, affirmations work. I was in a video store today and rented a video. And I was looking through my wallet to pay for it, and it was for something or other. And I had $4 and a $5, and I pulled out the $5 and I said to the guy behind the counter, oh, I know I must have more money in here than that. And I looked through my wallet and said, oh, look, I found money. I said, isn't that wonderful? I found money. I said, I bet you do that too. He says, no, I never find money. I said, you don't? He said, no, and that's very nice of you, but I don't believe in magic. You have to believe. You have to do this stuff for yourself. Now, do you think that that young man is going to be prosperous and all if he thinks that he can never find money? So you have to be able to find money all the time from every source, from every channel. And you have to be looking for it and excited when you get it. Now, I forgot that money was in the back of the wallet, but to me, I found it. So I make that statement, geez, look, I found money. To not only alert my mind, but to alert the universe that, hey, hey, how are you?
Good.
Oh, my goodness. Goodness, a bus. So you have to do the affirmation, people. even if you feel you don't want to do them, do them. I used to do them, as I told you, when I first started 30-some years ago, I did them from one traffic light to the next, and then I would change it. But I did affirmations all day long because I was in a hurry to get where I wanted to go mentally, in consciousness. I had wasted 40 years of my life, you see. So I wanted to catch up. Now, when I use the word wasted, I did learn something during that. And the other thing that I love to tell people about when we think that we wasted some part of our life with the wrong relationship, with drugs, with alcohol, with whatever, you have to remember this. God will always give you back the years that the locust ate. God will always give you back the years that the locust ate. That's why I look so young. But God will do that. So remember that. Don't think that anything is ever wasted, that you haven't learned something. You're always learning something. And it will come back to you, and you will learn that. Will you tell your story, please?
I've been learning for like a couple weeks because I wanted to get a flight back to the East Coast, and everyone was like, well, you'll never get one because it's like $500 or so expensive, you'll never get one. So I've sat home worrying, and then the other night I just relaxed and let it go, and I got on the internet yesterday, and I was like, I'm just going to look, and everyone was like, you'll never get one. They're $500, you're never going to be able to afford it. So I was like, stop it. So I found one for $200.
Wow.
Then called up my mom and I was like, guess what? I found a flight for $200. And she goes, all right, I'll pay for it.
Yay!
You can save all that time worrying. You cannot listen to other people. They may mean well, but they're only going to tell you their belief. And their belief was that you can't get an airline ticket for $200 to the East Coast. She did not accept that, and she found an airline ticket for $200. If she would have bought into what the people were saying, she would have never found a $200 ticket. Because why? We see with our mind, not with our eyes. So it's when the world outside tells you that something cannot be done, you must say, thank goodness I don't live there. This is the world that I live in. In my world, these things happen. If, like at the video store, the man wants to call it magic, I will allow anyone to call it anything as long as I am manifesting what I want. I don't care what they call it. And this thing that we call God doesn't care what you call it either. This thing that we call God only wants to give you what you want. The reason why we don't have what we want is because we feel that we don't deserve it. We feel that we're not worthy. And we do not know that we are totally lovable. And you have to get those ideas instilled in your mind so that you know that that is the truth. And when you know that, you will receive what you want, because the universe wants to give it to you. How many people in real life, somebody wants to give you something, you say, oh no, I can't take that. Oh, I couldn't take that. That's too much. I always take it and say, could I have more? You always take it and say, could I have more? Not to take something when somebody wants to give it to you is denying their good. They want to give it to you. It gives them joy to give it to you. So take it. But we were taught not to take things. We were taught especially not to take things from strangers, because they may want something. I take it anyway and I don't give it to them. You see, you don't have to give back to the stranger. You don't have to give back to the person that gives you something either. that's what we get into those games. Well, they gave me this big expensive gift. Now I have to come up with a big expensive gift to give them back. And it just keeps going on and on like that. No. They give you something. You see somebody else and you want to give them something. You give them something. And it just goes around and around and around because it has to just keep circulating. It has to circulate. And that's what most people don't know. And when I say more, please, it's not that I want more for myself, which is one of the things. It's because now I have something to give to somebody else. And I can give it away then. But if you never take anything that people want, how are you going to have something to give away? So that you can keep your prosperity moving all the time. The more you give, the more you'll get. Has anyone used that and tried that? Try giving things away. The more you get, give, the more you'll get. If you want new clothing, give away all the old clothing in your closet. And then before you know it, that closet will be filled right back up again. Why? Because nature abhors a vacuum. It will always fill something up. There is no such thing as empty space. We think it's empty space. Between here and that wall, what we see is empty space. That's our eyes. Between me and that wall, what is there? What is between me and that wall that you can't see with your eyes?
God. There.
God. It's always God as there. You see that? You cannot say air unless you know that that air is God. If you say it's air, you've just caused separation. And what do we know?
There's no separation.
There's only unity. In unity, church called Unity was founded by Charles Fillmore and his wife, Myrtle Fillmore. In fact, I think I handed out some things about Myrtle Fillmore and how to heal yourself. Their main thing is there's not a spot where God is not. And you see, scientists are figuring that out. There's no such thing as an empty place. There's no such thing that there isn't, that it isn't filled. There's no such thing as a vacuum. There is, it only lasts a minute. Something rushes in and takes that over. So tonight, I handed out some papers. Come in, sit down. Oh, Mary. And best wishes. Isn't that what you say?
Yes, I
The man you say congratulations. The woman you always say best wishes. She's engaged.
Aww.
Aww.
See the ring, my ring?
More. Look at that. From rags to riches story.
Sure.
Well, wasn't
it's
it?
It's Al's fault.
It's Al's fault. For what? Telling you to come here.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, good. So anyway, let's look at this paper a moment. We talk so many times, and this is a very important thing. First of all, let me explain to you, yes, that looks like the Star of David. This symbol was around long before it became the Star of David. Now let me explain the symbol to you. You see it's two triangles, one going up and one coming down. The triangle going up is man. The triangle going down is God. Because it's always God coming down, man going up. So it interconnects itself there. Then it has the different materials around here. When it says raw materials map. These materials are what make your life. This is what makes your reality. And if you can master these materials and use these materials, you can build any reality that you want. The reason that I got this out is because we talk about beliefs in here and how we have core beliefs and how beliefs run our life. And Hello. You may have to get up, Al.
Oh my God. We're in the maitre d'. Table for two.
Do you people know that this is a metaphysical class?
Yes.
Oh.
Just asking.
This is an AA.
Well practiced. So anyway, we talk a lot about beliefs. And you know that one of them, well, I knew we'd fill up that. See what visualization does? Fill up every chair.
The space
filled up. Is there a chair left over there?
One more left.
Okay. It's going to the highest.
There'll be a line around the building.
Beliefs. We talk about beliefs. And we know in religious circles or in the Bible, it says, it's always done unto you as you believe. It's always done unto you as you believe. So, back to the story in the video store. The young man did not believe that he could find money. So he's never going to find money. I believe that I can find money. So I find money. You see? That's what a belief system is. But it's very difficult for people to pinpoint their beliefs. But if you use this raw materials map, you can use it in any direction you want. If you don't know your belief, go to attitudes. What's your attitude? I hate money. Well, that attitude just happens to be a belief. You see how it works? And you go, then your thoughts. Your thoughts on money. What are you thinking about all the time? And then go back. What's your attitude? What's your belief? You see, it will just go around that way with each thing. Then what are your feelings about money? And we know we talk about thoughts all the time. It's always thoughts and feelings that are working together. You have to... Is that somebody? Well, chair over here.
Table for one. Table for one.
We're waiting for you.
We were going to auction that chair off.
Oh. Well, I'll split it with you.
Okay, good. So if you use this and you want to find out why you're not manifesting something, why money or anything else is not coming into your life, look at this chart. You will notice that the points of the star do the different attitudes here, the different materials. So as you go around, then you realize your decisions, any decision that you make. Once you make a decision, the whole universe comes and backs you up in that decision. The reason why people don't get what they want, they cannot make a decision. You know. And I don't know why people are afraid of making a decision. Because they're afraid they'll manifest the wrong thing, or they'll get the wrong thing, or they'll do the wrong thing. You'll know it right away, just make another decision. You know. Don't do that to yourself. Oh, I'm afraid. Oh, what if this happens? What if that happens? You'll find out soon enough. And as soon as you find out, you say, I don't want that. Make another decision. That's all you have to do. So you don't have to worry anymore about things. Weren't you, Christine, worrying that you wouldn't get that flight?
Yeah.
You see? And as soon as you...
As soon as I let it go.
As soon as you let it go, you know, you said, why was I ever worrying? Why did I waste time worrying? You don't have to waste time worrying. And then choices. Well, we all know the choices in our life. We're the ones who make the choices. And those choices, what? Make our life what it is. We choose to be an actor. We choose to be a doctor. We choose to marry this person. We choose to marry that person. Our life is choices, you see. Now, does anyone, when they go around here, can you figure this out, the way this goes, and you can work it one way or the other? And that it is the materials to use to manifest something. So if you're just thinking, oh, I don't have the right attitude or I don't have the right belief, go around. If you have thoughts, correct those thoughts so that your attitudes change. You see? And you know feelings, of course, always follow thought. You have to think sadness to be sad. You have to think health to be healthy. You have to think rich to be rich. And you have to start feeling what it would be like to have the amount of money that you want. What would your life be like? What would you do with that money? You see? Then you get that feeling going, and that feeling will attract things to you. It will always attract things to you. So you can use this way, that way, back and forth, any way you want. But use these in your life as the raw materials to build the reality that you want to build, whatever that reality is. If it's health, start with, what do I believe about health? Do I believe that my health is bad? Do I believe that my health is good? Do I believe that I need a doctor? Do I believe I can do it myself? You have to make those decisions. It boils down to, you are the only authority in your life. You know more about your life than anybody else. You know what you want. You don't have to ask somebody, well, what do I want? I'm so confused. You're not confused. Never tell yourself that you're confused. Immediately say to yourself, I'm using the mind of God, and the mind of God is never confused, and I have the answer right here and right now. Now they're sitting on the floor. So you have to do that. Does this make sense to you? Okay. So you just use this any way that you want to use it. And as I said, it may look like the Star of David. It really is not the Star of David. I mean, it is, but the Star of David, that symbol was used long before it became the Star of David. So, but if you know that, because we talk about all the time beliefs, and everyone's so afraid, oh, I must have believed wrong. I must have done this. I must have done that. Just go through this and say, well, what am I thinking? You see, what am I feeling? And then you can change that belief, because your life is about changing beliefs. You see, if you have a belief that you came from the wrong side of the tracks, that your parents never made any money, that your parents never taught you anything, well, that's not very good, is it? That's not going to work for you. Now, all that may be true, but you don't have to live with that. You don't have to live with that. Your past has nothing to do with you whatsoever, unless you make it. You see. And most people want to drag the past with them. They want to say to me, but you don't understand what I went through. My mother did this to me. Your mother did nothing. You did it with your thoughts. You could only ever be hurt once by somebody. Then, if you're hurt again, you're doing it with your thoughts. The person has long gone. But every time you think about that, you get hurt again, and you say, that person's doing that to me. The person's doing nothing. The person's probably dead. The person probably doesn't even remember you. But you remember that incident, and you keep replaying it in your mind instead of just saying, let it go. Let it go. How do you let something go? You love it. You bless it. And you release it. You don't walk around with all that stuff. It will get you nowhere in life. This teaching is to show you a different way to go through life than most people go through life. It's to show you that there's something besides what you look at on the outside there, on what we call life, or what we call race mind, or collective consciousness, whatever you want to call it, there is a better way to go through life. And the better way to go through life is learn to think correctly, or what we call use right thinking. And right thinking means bring it up in your mind, bring your consciousness up to a higher level where you can receive from the universe or this thing we call God, you can receive inspiration, you can receive the ideas. You know, the world teaches only two ways to do anything. It's either right or wrong. You know, when you have a problem, it's either right or wrong. You have to remember there's always a third way, and that third way is called a God way. That's what we remember. Hello, how are you tonight?
Good.
So you have to do that type of thinking. How many people here, I ask this all the time, but we have new people. How many people here know that you're not your mind? Oh my. What do we have? Slouch in the back there. You haven't decided that yet?
Well, I'm working on it. I understand intellectually, but it doesn't seem to be...
He's been with me 32 years.
32 years.
And he's still working on it.
32 years.
Go ahead.
I grasp it with my mind.
Well, you have to start somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a good way to do it, to start with your mind and to say that... But you have to realize that you're not your mind. Your mind is a big computer, and you're using it. You're always using your mind. Ernest Holmes, in the Big Book, on page 181, says, "You must learn to think the thoughts that you want to think. And you must learn to feel the feelings that you want to feel. And you must place no limits on God." Because what we do as human beings is what lawyers do. What do lawyers do? They always look for what happened before, a precedent for it. God doesn't work that way. What does God do? Thank you. God makes all things new. God does not look back and say, well, yesterday I did it that way, so I guess I'll do it this way again. God doesn't do that. But we do that in our lives, don't we? Well, I've been thinking this for years, so it must be true. Give up all that. What did you hear from Wayne Dyer, Rhoda?
He made the statement of give away your cleverness and keep your bewilderment.
Give away your cleverness and keep your bewilderment. What does that mean? Well, that means what is the problem with most people? They're already filled up. So you can't put anything into them, you see. If a glass is already filled with water, you cannot put more water in the glass. And if your mind is already filled up, you think it's already filled up, you're not going to put any more into that mind. In the Bible it says you must never put new wine into old wine sacks. What that means metaphysically is you must get rid of your old beliefs. Old attitudes, thoughts, the whole thing around the star, and start over and put fresh things in a fresh mind. People come to metaphysical classes and they love them. And they go out of here and they say, oh, I got this and I'm going to use this and this feels good and I feel so good with it. But they fail to get rid of their old belief systems. They fail to get rid of their old attitudes. And they think they can graft this onto that. You cannot do it. Because an old belief will always take precedence over a new belief. Because it's been running in your mind so long, and it knows exactly. Scientifically, they have proven that thoughts that you think habitually actually make a groove in your mind, just like a record, the old record, before these new contraptions. They actually do that. Because when we learn to think, our mind sets off synapses, and they find routes through our brain, and they use those routes instead of finding a new way. One of the meditations that I do is I form a bridge between the right and left side of my brain, and I actually walk from one side to the other so that I can see what's happening in my mind. And then I can open my mind more, and I can use more of this gray matter that we have. You know, we all realize that we only use 10% of our mind, and everyone says, oh, you only use 10% of your mind. Well, why not do something about that? Why? What are we doing with the other 90%? Why would we be given a mind that could work 100% and we're only using 10%? Because the world tells us that constantly. The world tells it, and we say, as a fact always, oh, you only use 10% of your mind. Now, do you want the rest of it to atrophy? You want to open that up, but you have to do that. You have to say to your mind, you have to open this up, you know. You know, I love the computer. I do all the little computer languages in my brain. Something comes up, I say, don't show me that again. You know, I have that comes up on mine. Does that come up on your computer? It says, the little thing, window comes up and says, don't you? I say, don't show me that again. Why do I want to see it? I mean, that thought's been coming up forever and a day. I don't want, it's doing me no good whatsoever. I want a new thought. And now I say, give me a better thought than that. Give me a new thought. And then my brain starts to work. It's a computer. We use it, but we're very lazy with it. My computer, what do I do with my computer besides delete things and say, don't show me that again? Email. Well, that computer that's sitting, oh, well, I guess that's, I always call the screen the computer. Did I ever tell you that story? It wasn't working one day, and I had to call Dell, and the woman says to me, well, go to your tower. I looked at her, and all I could think of, I think, tower? There's no tower here. And all, what did my mind see? The Eiffel Tower. You know, somebody says tower, I think Eiffel Tower or tower. So I'm looking around, I'm going, tower? And I say to her, well, I don't have a tower. She says, well, you must have a tower, I said. I don't have a tower. So finally she said, well, there must be something somewhere doing this. And I said, well, what does it look like? And then she said, well, it's sort of like a column. I said, oh, that thing underneath the desk? She said, yes. Well, then I learned that day that that's the computer. I thought it was the screen, you know. So I learned that. But the thing is, that computer of mine, although it's slow, they tell me, can do hundreds, thousands of things that I don't use it for. Hundreds of thousands of things that we don't use it for. We have to start to use our brains. We have to know that we can do that instead of being content by saying, oh, well, I'm content with 10%. The human race is content with 10%, and they take that for granted. Don't take that for granted. Say to yourself, well, why was I given the other 90%? You know, and I'm not using it. be like using just one hand all the time. Well, what's wrong with that hand? Oh, I don't use it. It's just there. I only use one hand. Well, why don't you use the other hand? I don't know. Use your mind. Open it up, and you can do that. Do the visualization. Think to yourself, geez, say every day my mind's expanding. I'm opening up new areas in my mind. I'm doing new things, you see. Now, we know perfectly well that that can be done. Do you know so many people who, that have strokes and are retrained and they can get over most of the stroke things? How do they do that? They do that by opening up a new area of their brain. The area that now works the arm is damaged, but there's more brain here. So they find another pathway to open up that brain. And you could all do that. But we say to ourselves, oh, I can't do it. Never say to yourself, you can't do something. When somebody says to me, you can't do that, I always look at them right in the face and I say, watch me. Watch me do this. I cannot sit here and say that all that I am is God. But I am, you are blessed, dear. All that I am is God. But I am not all that God is. And then say, I can't do something. I have to know the way to do it. So I ask, big mind, how do I do this? How many people cannot solve a problem and they go to bed and when they wake up in the morning they have the problem solved? Now that can be just, that's you, you do that.
Yeah.
Doesn't know his mind, but he can do that. I'm going to ask it 32 years. Where was I?
Go to bed.
What if you, how many people can't think of a name or something? And they go to bed and when they wake up in the morning, the name is there. They can remember it. Well, how do you think that happens? The brain works on it. God works on it. The universe works on it. It's in there someplace and it comes forward to you. You have to use it and you have to do that. And then you don't discount that and say, oh, well, that just happened. Say, oh, thank you, brain. I thank my body for everything that it does. And I mean everything that it does. I thank it for doing that for me. I take no body function for granted. I thank my body for doing it for me. Because I happen to live in this body. And I happen to like this body. And this body has been very good to me. And I have not always been good to it. But I thank it for what it's doing. And I thank my mind every time it can figure out something for me. I say, oh, thank you. And I say to myself, oh, well, that was pretty smart. That was intelligent. You see, I do that. Give you a cute story. I have a pair of kitchen shears. I love this because I used to be a very good cook, but I don't cook the way I used to because things have changed. You know, we have the microwave. It used to be a coal stove when I started. So we had the microwave. So what do we do? And the salads and all that kind of stuff. We used to get a head of lettuce. Now it comes in a bag. You have to have a pair of scissors to open everything up, you know. So I have a pair of scissors. Well, I broke the one handle, half of the handle. So I'm picking them up and I'm using them like this. Very difficult to do without a handle. Used that a couple times that way and said, I've got to go to the 99-cent store and get another pair of scissors. A day or so later after doing this, my hand picked that up these two fingers went on top, this went down underneath, and it held that exactly right. You can use that pair of scissors just like they're new. I should bring them. I'll bring them in next week and show you how that's done. Shouldn't have told you and asked you to figure it out. Now, I thought that was brilliant. That filled my mind, figured that out. How to do scissors with the one thing broken off. And it worked perfectly. I'm not spending 99 cents. That's prosperity right there, saving. But you have to notice those things. And you have to say, oh, thank you. Now, every time I pick those scissors up, I thank my mind for that. I say, oh, thank you for figuring that out for me. I put no effort into figuring that out. It automatically happened. I didn't stand there and for hours say, oh, how could I figure this out? I was ready to buy a new pair of scissors till my hand figured that out for me. My brain figured that out for me. Is there somebody there? Or you just don't? I thought there was somebody else coming in. Does any of this make sense to you? Does this happen in your own life? So you have to then say to yourself, look how smart I am. Look how intelligent I am. And you don't have to be a genius. How many people realize now that if you were, I don't know if they do this, when I was in school, they always were giving you IQ tests. I thought that was stupid, but anyway, I used to take these IQ tests. So I went to the counselor when I was getting ready for college, and I said, I'd like to know what my IQ is. And he said to me, well, if I told you, it would either make you inferior or superior. I just looked at him. I never liked the man anyway. Now, what does that have to do with anything? I thought, why did I take all these tests all these years? Now you're not going to even tell me what, you know, an IQ. But the thing is, people get stuck with their IQ. And they, if some counselor says to you, your IQ is only 125, you think, oh, I'm not very smart. I don't know what the criteria is for what they do, how they do that for intelligence. But the point is, they have now figured out that your intelligence changes through life by learning and using your mind. But to say to somebody, that's your IQ, and they used to say, and you cannot get out of that IQ. You have to stay there. I'm sorry. God made you with a 98 IQ, and you're staying there. What is that, Ben? But you can bring that up. You can bring anything up. You can use your mind to do that. That's what you have to learn to do. Use your mind. So we call this science of mind. And we also know that the mind, with all the thoughts that we think, I think it was Ralph Waldo Emerson said, a man becomes what he thinks about all day long. Now that means a great deal. What are you thinking about all day long? What are you thinking about yourself all day long? You see. Are you thinking, I can't make it because I wasn't potty trained right? I can't do this because of this, that, and the other thing? You have to change those thoughts. I'll take it. You have to change your thoughts about those things. And you have to listen to your mind telling you all that garbage. And you correct it yourself. No one is going to correct it for you. You have to do it. Symphony. You are responsible for your own life, regardless of what people tell you. regardless of what your mind tells you. You must take responsibility for your thinking. I can give you all this information, but I cannot think for you. I cannot eat for you, and I cannot breathe for you. You have to do that for yourself. So you take all this information and you make it yours so that you feel good about it. You can change anything I say any way you want. There is not a copyright on any of this. And I do not have that big of an ego to say, oh, that was my idea, that was my little slogan, that was my little saying, and you sold it from me. You may take anything you want from me. And why do I say that? Because I know that there is more. And the more I give, the more I get. That does not mean always something material. When I give my ideas away, when I talk to you people, I know that the universe will give me more ideas. And I've been teaching now for many years, and the ideas keep coming. Because I know that my mind is one with the mind of God, or is one with the universe itself. And I remember that day in and day out, and I never get tired of telling myself that. I never get tired of telling myself that, because the more I do that, the more I believe that. And the more I believe, the better my life becomes. And I happen to have a wonderful life. I love my life, and I love myself. And years ago, I would have been afraid. I could have told you I love my life, but I'd have never been able to say I love myself, because I was taught that you can't love yourself. If you love yourself, you're conceited. No one will like you. And I would, I'm sure my parents would have said, and you're mentally ill. You see, you can't do it. But you have to learn to love yourself. Why, Joy, do we have to learn to love ourselves? Because it's the highest form of worship you can give God. It's the highest form of worship you can give God. In fact, it's the only thing that you can give God. Lighting incense will not do it. I'm here to tell you, God does not have a nose. No, doesn't have a nose. Cannot smell all that stuff. But God lives through you when you know that. And when you learn to love yourself, that power lives through you more and more and more. All right? Am I all right with everyone so far? Okay. So that's what you need to know. So it always boils down to the same thing. Know that you are worth it. Know that you do deserve. And know that you're totally lovable. Being totally lovable is the lie, not a lie, don't know how to say that. It's the information that the world has never given you. If that is held back from you. It's held back because people are afraid to be lovable. And then they wonder why no one loves them. But they wonder why they can't love them. You have to be lovable. And you have to know that you're lovable. And it doesn't mean gushy-gushy, all that kind of stuff. It means just accepting yourself as the authentic self that you truly are. And using that in every day so that you're never disgusted with yourself. So that you're always saying something nice about yourself. That you're never scolding yourself. How many people here still scold themselves? Don't do it. Oh, you still scold yourself. As nice as God has been to you?
I know. It's totally disappearing.
Well, it will disappear. And when I say any of these things, remember, none of this is said for you to have ever receive any shame or guilt, or have any shame or guilt whatsoever. This is a philosophy that they made into a religion, but it is not a religion based on shame and guilt. That's the brand name religions all deal in shame and guilt because they want control. I do not want control. This teaching does not want control. This teaching never tells you what to think. It teaches you how to think. And that's what makes it wonderful. And that's what makes each and every one of you wonderful. And that's what makes me wonderful. And there ends the lesson. Thank you.
Thank you. A couple quick announcements. Christine, do you mind if I share any questions? Saturday night at 6 o'clock at the Golden Bridge Yoga Center, Marianne Williamson is giving a free speech, if anybody's interested. It's behind the Arc Light Theater, I guess.
Arclight.
It's a free class, but if anybody cares to donate to Dallas, there's a basket there for donation. Dallas also teaches privately and counsels and does hypnotherapy. And thank you all very much for coming.
And next week, I will be here. And then I am treating myself, because I love myself that much, I'm treating myself to 3 weeks vacation. But I will be back with all new material. Washington, Pennsylvania, and New York.
How did your shoot go?
No. This is,
you can't.
You can make change. You can make change.
But didn't you shoot more?
No.
Oh, that's so cool.
I made the big thing.
Oh, where are you going to go?
Frank.
Where are you going to go? Wow, Mr. Cool. Very well. Things are going really well. A whole bunch of stuff coming, tend to be coming up. So I want to say, hey, what's up?
Hi.
How are you?
Good.
See you.
How
was
your week?
Very good. Now, he was in
the conference.
Oh, did she give her speech today?
This morning.
You know how it went?
She said it went really, really well.
Oh, good. I figured she would.
She's preparing for Baltimore.
I know. Very good. And then I handed him a treatment. show me my partner created with her. I mean, like, I did, I did. So she's going to look at it and see if she can do it. She can do it when you try to put it on TV. You know, when I was like, you know, HGTV or something.
So,
I may not, because I'm going back this week. I'll see. I may not be able to do this. Well, not next week, but I have this part-time thing I do in person again next week. So I may have to do that. I may be able to start switching around. But I'll see. Take care. We're going to work it out, aren't we? Oh my God. What did you make up for?
$160,000.
Like half a million.
Oh, good. I'm strong and scared. Not only that,
right. And you know what he does? Oh, yeah, so we're going to do it on the Sunday, the 11th. I think that's okay. I'll let you know. I have a chance. I'm actually a team to send it out to the but September 9th, I'm still in the September 11th. I'll let you know. Yeah, I think, I never know. I just somebody asked, you know? It's like an AA. Do we have all your bills? No, you don't have somebody. You're going to get a chance. I do.
I didn't know.
Is that right?
I'm going to nudge my parents.